stunning Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. Gorgeous one day, perfect the next. It's a lovely collection of coastal towns that spread along the coast, about the latitude south of the equator that Orlando is north. And it is gorgeous here. And today is the very first unprecedented live alchemy conference call with the guy who's the source of the whole thing, the reason why we're all here. He's the man who's made this whole thing happen. As Sharon said, you can't think of Ormus without Barry being involved in that thought. Because he's the guy who's made this whole thing happen. He described himself as a college dropout who quit school because it was interfering with his education. Look, I'll tell you what, before we even start, I want to introduce you to Sharon Rose. Now, Sharon is a desert bloom. She's in this wonderful little town called Cottonwood in Arizona, which is close to Sedona. And she describes herself as Barry's bodyguard, his psychic, his financial minder, Sharon from Cottonwood.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me out there?
Yes, Sharon.
Oh, great. Well, it's so wonderful hearing everybody else's voices. This is going to be so much fun. And I want to encourage everyone. You know, I know that we all appreciate what Barry does, and I know that we all send him donations as much as we can, but he needs more. And I keep thinking of more ways to get Barry the kind of money that he needs get by with. So, I've got a new idea. I want to run it by you guys. You're the first ones to hear about this. What about a raffle? And I think we have our first donation from Carol Brenner, and that would be Smart Minerals, and it's been his product has been talked about recently on the forum, and it's called The Gift. And it's a $60 value, and we're going to sell raffle tickets, well, they're not actual tickets, virtual tickets, for $5 each. What a bargain. All proceeds go to Barry. And tomorrow we'll be posting on all the forums how to sign up for this and how to get Barry some money. So I just wanted to break the news to everybody here. And, of course, if you can make a donation for these free conference calls, please do so. I am finished. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, listen, let me just say that I have used the gift. I've still got some of it left. And it's a lovely, sweet uplift. I noticed that suddenly I was more in my own body. The colors were brighter. The sounds were sweeter. I'm more present in my presence. I have to say I like it.
I've tried it too, Dennis. I like it as well.
With
this island.
How much
did you get anybody else that's tried it too?
Anyone else tried it?
I have tried it, and it is nice. It is good.
Yeah. The word I use for it is sweet. Now, the man I want to introduce right now, whose favorite subject is consciousness and hormones, and he's the man who needs no introduction, that's Barry Carter, who we all love so far. Barry.
Hello. Well.
I'm going to mute my telephone now.
Yeah, now please let me I just forgot to do protocol. Thank you, Sharon. What I'd like you to do is hit star 6. And when you hit star 6, that mutes out your particular phone. And then when you want to ask a question, hit star 6 again, and that way you will be able to talk. Please don't use speakerphone to the best of your capacity, because it'll just reverberate. And if you are on a phone in a noisy area, go inside. Because everything that you can hear here on the conference. So that's just the simple protocol, Barry?
Yes.
Okay. The subject is Ormus in the matrix of consciousness.
Ormus is the matrix of consciousness, I believe. I think that Ormus serves as a quantum coherent communication system that allows our cells and every water molecule in us to communicate with every other cell and every other water molecule in us. And this quantum coherent communication, because it's instantaneous, it allows us to connect with the non-physical. I call this connection, the connection is sort of like the modem that connects us to the internet. So I call it the inner net. And the modem would be the Ormus that connects us with the internet. And this connection, when we improve it, it's kind of like if you're standing on this edge of the Grand Canyon and you shout, "I love you." And a minute later you hear, "I love you." And you think, "Somebody out there loves me." Or you shout, "I hate you." And a minute later you think, "Somebody out there hates me." Because of that time delay, the delay between our thought and the consequences of our thought, we have plausible deniability. And the plausible deniability allows us to say, "Well, hey, that's not the echo of my thought. I didn't think that. Or at least I didn't think it recently." And so we can plausibly deny that we've created the situations that we move into. Well, we think that the Ormus is like the air. And like the air carries our voice, the Ormus carries our thoughts and allows the signal to move faster. On the top of a tall mountain, because the air is thin, our voice travels slowly. If we put our ear to an iron rail, we'll hear the train coming before we hear it through the air. The denser the medium, the faster sound travels. And I think that in some ways our thoughts are encouraged to travel faster by the density of Ormus in our bodies. This is why I think when we take Ormus, at least in 3 or 4 instances, it's been measured that the hemispheres of the brain go into coherence. And a person drops into an alpha state within something like 2 minutes after taking the Ormus. And within 10 minutes, the front brain and the rear brain go into coherence. And a person will drop into a theta or delta state, which is the deepest state that meditators work for 40 years trying to get into that state and be consciously aware. And everybody who takes Ormus that's been measured can maintain that conscious awareness while talking and while being in this theta delta state. So we think that it's a common experience. A lot of the things that people talk about, like the M state whirlies or the spaciness, the disorientation, the sounds that people hear, the colors that people see sometimes, the dream states that change, those things could all be explained by that theta-delta state and being in it more of the time. Now, so if this is the case, if we can demonstrate that Ormus creates this coherence or improves the coherent communication. What might happen? What might the consequences be for consciousness? Well, if the time lag quits, so you don't see such a big time lag, you say, I love you comes right back. I hate you comes right back. John Lennon called it instant karma. You get an instant feedback for your thoughts. You instantly see the consequences of your thoughts or whatever the resonances of feeling that you put out. Now, when you put out things that you don't want and get instant feedback in your life that things that you don't want happen, that's good, because that instant feedback makes you aware that it's the consequence of your thought. It's also good when you put out positive thoughts, because the positive feedback is just as good or even better. Feels better, certainly. So these instant feedback things help us to figure out what station we traditionally tune into. If we notice that lots of yucky stuff happens, and that our thoughts think a lot about yucky stuff, then it sort of alerts us to the idea that we're tuned into the yucky thought station. And then we say, well, I'll change stations. I'm going to think about the wonderful things station. I'm going to tune into that. And it's not our thoughts that create the resonance. It seems to be rather the feelings that we have that the thoughts trigger. The feelings are the resonance. Something doesn't feel good or something does feel good. And so the Ormus, because it enhances the communication, it creates a shorter lag time between the thought and its consequent feeling and the event that resonates with that feeling. The music on the station that feeling tunes us to. And I'm quite happy to take some questions.
Barry, question, Barry?
Yeah.
My question is twofold. Do you think that it's the Ormus connection, you know, this internet?
Mm-hmm.
That makes us the people, the members of the Ormus community, feel so connected. I don't think I've ever felt as connected to a group of people as I do, even my family. I don't feel as connected as I do to my Ormus family.
I think that we're all tuned into the same ideas, the same thoughts in a lot of ways, and Ormus is somewhat difficult for people to get into. You have to have a certain mindset to get there. And there's definitely a resonance there, and I'm sure that the resonance is enhanced by taking the Ormus.
Okay.
A commonality of experience.
Can I please just interrupt here and ask for anyone who wants to ask a question, please say who you are. So, you know, like it's Dan here from wherever my question is.
Io here from Sydney, Australia, Barry.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've heard of philosophy, I suppose, called Kelantic Science, and a lady called Ashiana Dean. They do a lot with various, I suppose, ascension processes, and they have symbol codes, and it's quite an amazing, amazing thing.
Uh-huh.
And when I spoke to some friends, they said that she got channeled some information from the Guardian Alliance. I mean, it's the whole thing, but it sounds quite quite plausible that what the white powder gel does, it actually, I'll just read a little bit here because it really has been a concern of mine. White powder gels and related substances create a temporary improvement in body conditions and in spiritual expansion experiences. But at the same time, they erode the first strands of DNA template, creating molecular compaction. And, you know, temporary fires everything and we all feel pretty well. But what it does, in essence, is eat out your three strands of DNA. So the better you feel, the more you take, the better you feel, the more you take, the more your DNA gets eroded until you really can't do any ascension, if that makes any sense to you. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that or any experiences you had or if you thought about that at all.
Well, if I were somebody like the Illuminati or some terrible government organization, I would try to scare people away from Ormus, because Ormus is threatening to most any control structure. And structures tend to be very unimaginative and attract people who are very unimaginative. All they can imagine to recruit new people are tactics of fear. So in order to spread that kind of fear, they would think of things to say like Ormus will make you more prone to mind control or one thing or another.
Well, yeah, they actually say it's a bit like LSD. The higher frequencies begin to crush the natural crystalline arrangement of our grid, you know, and like a hammer on quartz crystal is the thing that they did. And so, you know, I'm just interested to hear your...
Well, so far it's been my experience that it's difficult, more and more difficult for me to remember to take Ormus. I forget to take it. I can't imagine any addictive property to it.
Okay.
Because it just is difficult to take it. I mean, oh yeah, I forgot. Damn it. You know, I haven't taken it for 2 days now, and I wanted to take it. I just don't feel any need for it.
Yes, yes. And you're retaining those qualities that you talked about.
Yeah. And a lot of other people have said similar things. But be that as it may, we probably wouldn't have 6% dry matter weight of these elements in our brain if our brain didn't need them. And I'm not a fan of taking any pure Ormus element, like pure Ormus gold or pure Ormus silver or pure Ormus platinum or any of those, because you want everything in balance. Ocean water is a really good balance. Some rock source materials are really good balance. But if you have a specific purpose, possibly taking an individual Ormus element. But for the most part, I just take Ormus that's from a balanced source, whether it be a rock source material or an ocean water source material or a sea salt material. And that seems to keep me in balance better than any individual Ormus element. I can see where people would probably... I don't like Ormus gold, and some other people don't, mainly because I get so spacey I forget to pay the bills.
Right. nice thought.
I make it. I eat it. I breathe it. I use trap and drink water from it. And I take products that people send me, and I've taken most of the products out there.
Right. And one last question. On Harmonic Enterprises, have you taken their orbit? So they call it modern, what do they call it? Ethereum Gold.
Yeah, I have taken it.
Yes, and that comes from a Seafog bed near Mount Shasta. Is that on a par with the rest of the quality of the good product? And the experience?
It's one of the few products that's actually been tested, and tested for its effect on the brain. And it puts a person into this coherent hemisphere state, alpha state, theta, gamma state, or theta, delta state, just as well as any of the others. When it's tested, it does have a lot of other minerals in it. And that may be good for some people and not as good for others.
Okay.
But think of it this way. You're unique, just like everyone else. And that means that your uniqueness is going to resonate best with something unique.
But think of it this way. You're unique, just like everyone else. And that means that your uniqueness is going to resonate best with something unique. Different products will work for you than will work for someone else. So find the one that you resonate with and try it.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for those questions. Oh, good questions. Anyone else?
Hello, this is Enrique. I have an observation to make. I wanted to ask Barry's opinion and what he thought of this. About 3 weeks ago, almost a month ago, I was exposed to some poison ivy, and I have been working in that area in upstate New York in other years, but I was never affected by it. And this year, I noticed in my forearms that I was getting, that had scratches from doing the yard work, and then they started turning into little bubbles, I guess. And it didn't bother me for about a week, and then about 6 days later, started to itch, and I was thinking, what could I do to that, then I thought, because I do have some Rainbow Bridge, I said, well, let me just see what happens if I apply some Rainbow Bridge, and I applied a little bit on one of the little areas, and then I said, well, I'm just going to, put some drops on my arms and then and go ahead and just go all over my forearms and both of them. And I don't know, because if it was my first reaction to poison ivy or not, but I ended up having a very, very severe allergic reaction to poison ivy. And the bad part was I was on the road traveling as a musician. So when I got back to New York City 4 days later, when it was really on the really heavy onslaught with the big blisters opening up and the arms on fire and inflamed and everything, I had to take I ended up getting prednisone. Methyl prednisone treatment, like 6 days of treatment, and plus some Benadryl so I could sleep at night. And I forgot I had taken the Onsate water. I wanted to talk to Keith about that. But do you think the Onsate might have, because I've heard that Ormus can really magnify whatever you have, whatever organism in contact. So what do you think about something like that, Barry? I'm just curious. Because after a few days, I said, well, I wonder if the Ormus may have inflamed it more, or the trap water.
It sometimes has been known to speed up the process of elimination, so that the toxins are eliminated from the body, or it can stimulate an allergic reaction early on.
Yeah. But topically, because I've used...
Typically... After you take it for a while, those things diminish.
And now it's almost completely healed, and I stopped taking any Ormus for a while, just while I was taking this medication, the prednisone.
Sure.
I don't know what kind of reaction it might give with Ormus. But
Ormus typically makes most medications more effective.
Well, that little experiment and experience already passed.
yeah.
I'm back on my crystals and home water, home state water. Back to the input, Barry.
Thanks, Emmett. Anyone else?
This is Emmett.
Hi, Emmett.
I have two questions for Barry. One, has anybody ever attempted to, when they was drawing seawater, run the seawater across a magnetic trap and then use the concentrated Ormus-bearing seawater to do their precipitates from?
Yes, a gentleman in Greece did that, and he reported that he got about 6% more precipitate. But that 6% more precipitate, if it's all Ormus, would significantly increase the percentage of Ormus in the whole mix of precipitate. So it probably is a good idea to do that.
Okay, that was... Okay, I've been wanting to go out into the ocean or at least go to Salt Lake or someplace and try it. And I thought that might be a good way to start with.
There you go.
I haven't ever taken any Ormus yet, and I can't afford to right now, but I will soon. But I've been wondering, has anybody ever noticed any vibrations? Or, well, I guess that's the only way to put it, vibrations in their body. Just lately, I've been having vibrations. I don't have any other way to say it. Just every once in a while, I'll notice my body starting to vibrate a little bit here and there.
A couple people recently have reported this. I'm not sure which list it was on. And I think, Sharon, didn't you see something like that happen?
Yes, and I've heard of... I've heard of people who begin to get Ormus experiences even before they start taking the product.
That would be me.
Yeah.
It seems to work backwards and frontwards in time.
It's a very odd thing.
It's a quite odd sensation because the left side of my body and brain at times will just have a vibration. And then and sometimes a little bit on the right side. And it's just, and like I said, I haven't had a chance to take any yet, but I'm thinking that this has got to be part of the process.
Good.
You're cued into what's happening. It's obvious that you already know what's happening.
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't have brought it up.
That's right.
Well, I've been following the... following Ormus material since about 1998 or 99,
uh-huh.
And have not, the opportunity has not come up, for a way it's not come up. That's why I've just joined the list just within the last month and have been reading mostly. Thank you very much.
Now, how far are you away from Salt Lake?
Probably 700 miles.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, you can get really good Celtic sea salt in most health food stores.
Yeah, I was just reading the other day about sea salt and Dead Sea salt and Salt Lake salt.
There you go.
Following that out, thinking of buying that also.
Yeah, that works real well, and you can make it pretty easily. The biggest problem is getting lye. You can buy that at Snowdrift Farms. Snowdriftfarms.com.
Okay. Actually, lye is fairly easy to get a hold of.
Good.
No problem there. I can buy it by the 50-pound bag.
There you go.
But once you start making Ormus, after your first batch, it's all an easy slide, easy slope from there. And your Ormus will get stronger every batch. Because what I've noticed is that you get more confident and you get more of an effect in your Ormus. And it becomes quite an adventure. Sorry, Barry. Any other questions for Barry?
Yeah, hi, Barry. This is from Alchemy from Eugene, Oregon.
Yes.
You were talking about coherence. One of the things that I just picked up is an IBVA machine that works with recording coherence out of the brain.
Oh, wow.
So if you get up this way, drop in, and maybe we can do some testing of it.
I would love that, yes. That would be wonderful. For those of you in Oregon, Eugene is in Oregon, I'm going to be in Lincoln City on the coast next Monday and Tuesday. Well, the Tuesday after next Monday and Tuesday. And I'm going to be in Bend, Oregon on, I believe it's the 21st, 22nd, somewhere in there. And I'll be showing people 18th, 19th, and 20th in Bend, 7th and 8th in Lincoln City. And I'll be showing people the wet method and how to build a trap in both places.
So any other questions?
Hello, Barry.
Yes.
Francis from Cofield, Alberta, Canada.
Uh-huh.
Please speak up, Francis.
Thank you. I have a question for you. It sort of relates to one of the previous ones from Australia.
Yeah.
I think you're familiar with the work of Dan Winter.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering if you have any comments on his hypothesis about the use of Ormies and Ormus, and that Dan Winter suggests that we're quite capable of generating our own Ormus without ingesting it. So that's my question to you.
I don't know anyone who's been able to successfully avoid ingesting Ormus. It's in the air, it's in the water, and it's in our food. The question isn't whether we ingest it or not. The question is whether we ingest more of it than is in ordinary, let's say, farmed and processed food. And ordinary farmed and processed food, there are things that people do because they don't know about Ormus that destroy or diminish the Ormus in those foods. Cooking food on an electric burner is one example. One Ormus researcher took some Ormus Dead Sea precipitate and dried it out on electric burner. That's all he did. He heated it on electric burner until it dried, and he got thousands of times more toxic metals than the stuff that was undried or that was dried on something else. He also microwaved it and again got thousands of times more toxic metals. So the way food is processed, the way it's cooked, the way it's dried, all of those things can increase the amount of toxic metals by converting the Ormus that's naturally in the food into its metallic counterparts. To answer your question more directly, perhaps it would be best to get Ormus out of our food just by eating food that naturally has lots of Ormus in it. Unfortunately, there are so many farming practices and food processing practices out there that diminish the Ormus in our food that we just don't have enough.
I don't know if this is the right place, but I would just like you to comment a little bit deeper on what Dan Winter has to say about his explosion theory and the DNA strand, and how he believes that taking white powdered gold or any form of Ormus from an external source it seems to have an enlightening it actually allows, like, I don't really want to get into this right now, but I think you might know what I'm talking about, that it plays into the hands of other forces, which I don't think that we may not want to.
If you focus your attention on what you don't want, you'll get lots of what you don't want. And the world will continue to give you evidence, proof, that what you don't want is out there. And more and more and more and more evidence that what you don't want is out there. If that's what you want, go for it. Less than I used to when I started taking Ormus. And I like that. That seems like a pretty much permanent change. And, you know, the cat that grew the new tail, that tail's still on that cat, as far as I know. That's a pretty permanent change. In terms of changing people's beliefs, Ormus doesn't seem to do that. People are free to have any beliefs that they want, and those beliefs can continue to manifest in the way that they've always been manifesting. I always say Ormus isn't an enlightenment pill. It isn't going to enlighten people against their will. It doesn't steal your free will. You still have choice. You can become more awake or more enlightened if you wish, or better sustain a lifestyle without enlightenment, whichever you choose. But there are many things that Ormus does that are going to shake up existing structures. We build structures to serve us. I'm sitting in a room now that's a little cooler than it is outside because I've insulated it well. And I want this room to remain a good insulated room for as long as possible. I want it to continue to do what it does. So I make the structure as resistant to change as I possibly can. When we build corporations, we build certain things in them that resist change. When we build governments, we build certain things into them to resist change. We don't want the government to change from day to day so that it's not predictable. And at some point, the things that we build to resist change, they try to prevent us from changing. They try to make sure that that we keep buying their product, that we keep supporting their cause, that we keep supporting their whatever it is that they're doing to promote whatever it is they're promoting. And they forget that they're our servants. Those structures are our servants. We're not here to serve them. They're here to serve us. Ormus promises lots of change. If we can demonstrate this quantum coherent communication that's going on everywhere at once, that's going to threaten a lot of structures. It's going to threaten governments and corporations and churches. If we can demonstrate that we can get what we want without subscribing to corporate agriculture, or that there are other ways to get the things that those corporations want us to depend on, then that knowledge is going to threaten those corporations, those governments, those churches. And Ormus looks to me like the biggest agent of change that there is right now. It's going to change everything we know in consciousness, in physics, in chemistry, in every area that I can think of. And there will be people who will resist that, people who serve one structure or another.
Right. And those that participate in structures that benefit from other structures being ignorant of certain things.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to say is we're running out of time now, and we've got room for one more question.
I've got a question. For Barry, Mike Rogan. Barry,
speak up, Mike.
Okay, Barry, this is something I've been meaning to ask for the last few days. I just haven't got around to calling you. You mentioned that somebody was getting the Ormus grease out of just an air trap, right?
Yes.
What, have you seen any assay that gives the percentage of different forms in that?
I don't think anybody has the capability of assaying the oil form of Ormus yet. Jim made some efforts in that direction, but hasn't done any work on it in a long time.
Right.
And didn't document anything he did.
Hey, thank you for answering my question too, Billy. I forgot to say thank you. Mm-hmm. So what I'd like to ask of any of the members here, if anyone has any good ideas for a long-term sustainable program that can fund Barry and his work, because he's basically an almost monk. Yes, I know he's got a girlfriend, but he's completely committed to this thing. He doesn't have any other form of income. And we got to hear about this, we got to learn about this, we got to experience this whole world opening up as a result of his efforts. And I would like to be a little bit instrumental in his support, which is the purpose of these calls, which is the purpose of setting up these calls. And we want to do another one next week, but we haven't got confirmation yet from Sigberta that he can be our guest next week, but he said he could, but he's in mainland China, so I haven't got an email back from him. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we're going to do this call every month on the first weekend of every month, and we had to start a week early with Barry because his next weekend is his moments on mortgage by going to Lincoln and that other town, whichever it was in Oregon.
Bend.
Which was it?
Antoinette, do you have PayPal? This is Narika for New York asking again. I don't recall that. I knew you posted a site where we can make a contribution, but can you tell us?
My regular email address is my PayPal address. bcarter@igc.org.
Yeah. Sharon gave me that information, but I wasn't sure how to use that. Maybe Sharon can post that tomorrow.
Also, for these calls, Sumro, S-U-M-R-O, which is Ormus spelled backward, at zzzz.com.
Thank you so much.
All right,
see you guys.